Gant had to leave. There's a new fire in Weaverville area, so it sounds like she may be heading back to try to figure that out. So we still have a quorum. We're going to proceed. Okay? We're going to take on item number 7. This is a time and a place for a hearing by the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, North Coast Region, to consider adoption of resolution number R1-2018-0030, approving the 2018 triennial review of the water quality control plan for the North Coast Region. This item has been properly noticed. Will all those who expect to give testimony in this matter please stand, raise your right hand, and take the following oath? Do you swear and affirm that you will tell the truth in this matter? All right. So we have staff allocated to 20 minutes, interested public. 3 minutes thereafter, please fill out a speaker card if you have a desire to address us on this issue. We have Ms. Alita Mangelsdorf with us.
Good morning, Chairman Noren and members of the board. I'm Alita Mangelsdorf, the Division Chief for the Planning and Watershed Stewardship Division here at the North Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board. The planning unit is the place where we, on a three-year basis, conduct a triennial review of our water quality control plan for the North Coast region, which we otherwise refer to as the Basin Plan. And today is a hearing on that triennial review. It's a review of the plan and the need, a review of the places in the plan that might need update, and then a prioritization of those projects to determine which we will apply staff resources to. So in my presentation, I'll give just a brief overview of how it is that we, why it is that we conduct a triennial review. I'll go over some revisions to the adopting resolution as it went out in draft form in May versus how it is, what it looks like today proposed for your adoption. Then I'll go over a few of the revisions of the planning program work plan that were the result of the public comments that we received, and then provide a staff recommendation, basically to consider adoption of resolution R1-2018-0030, which includes the planning program work plan for this next triennial period, so fiscal years 2018 through to the end of fiscal year 2021. And the work plan includes the high priority projects in order of priority. The staff report includes discussion of medium and low priority projects, also in order of priority. So just for a brief overview, this is material that we went over in the workshop in May, but I just thought I'd remind us generally as our starting point. We operate under the authority of Porter Cologne Water Quality Control Act, which was first enacted in 1969. And that act requires that we develop water quality control plans, or our basin plan. And within those basin plans, we establish water quality objectives, which are designed to protect beneficial uses of water in our region. We're also obligated to develop programs of implementation, which are designed to achieve those objectives. And then we're obligated to review and update the basin plan on a periodic basis. We also operate under the authority of the Clean Water Act, which was first enacted in 1972. And in the Clean Water Act, we're directed to develop what are described in federal terms as water quality standards. Water quality standards are made up of three components, which are naturally a part of what we include in a water quality control plan under Porter Cologne. Their language is slightly different, but they're comparable. So, for example, federal standards require that we establish designated uses. In state law, we refer to those as beneficial uses. Under federal law, we're obligated to develop water quality criteria to protect those designated uses, and we call those water quality objectives in our basin plan. And then the Clean Water Act requires the development of an anti-degradation policy, which the state board did in 1968, and which we refer to, describe, summarize in our basin plan and refer to. The Clean Water Act requires that we review these standards every 3 years, and that's where it comes to be that we do our review of the basin plan on a three-year basis and call it a triennial review. Just to remind you of the timeline here, the activities that we've been engaged in to get to this point today of a hearing on this item, we released draft triennial review materials for public review back on May 5th. And then we held a workshop here before you on May 17th. The public comment period was extended through to June 22nd. And then we held an information item on July 11th, which was focused specifically on the adopting resolution, in which we had proposed that there be policy statements that addressed broadly some important topics of concern. And I'll talk about I'll talk about our approach to that in a moment. And then that brings us today to a hearing. Following the hearing today, were you to adopt the resolution, that would be the conclusion of our 2018 training review, and then we would begin enacting the work plan as proposed associated with the adopting resolution. So to speak specifically to the adopting resolution and the policy statements, there were staff had the idea of including policy statements in the adopting resolution, which were essentially broad statements on key areas of interest. Those topics were water conservation, chemicals of emerging concern, climate change, and groundwater protection. We, I think, generated a fair amount of interest in this concept of the board participating in crafting policy statements and then including them in a resolution for adoption. In the period between July and now, given a number of other priorities, it didn't appear possible to have the amount of interaction with the board that would be necessary to finally craft the language of those policy statements. So we've opted in this triennial review to remove the policy statements from the adopting resolution and postpone our work on the policy statements that would then be included in their own adopting resolution. So I want to be clear that we still maintain that it's a good exercise, an interesting exercise, and I think the board also found value in the exercise. But the timing, we felt that there was more work that needed to be done to refine the language in a manner that suited the interests of the board, and we wanted to make sure that we had adequate time to do that. So regarding the training review itself, we got 16 individual comment letters. The letters covered a broad range of topics. Some of the comments were very focused on individual points of individual projects within the training review, or even individual language within the basin plan. Other comments were much more broad and maybe were not specifically targeted towards the basin plan at all, but more about the Regional Water Board and how it operates and what its priorities ought to be. Regardless of the comment, we produced a response to comments document that I think responds well, adequately, robustly to all of those comments, and it's included in the agenda package. I'm going to focus on a few of the key comments that came up that particularly that resulted in our making some modification to the language in the program planning program work plan. And those include the comments on the in-stream flow objectives, comments on the climate change adaptation strategy, and comments on the outstanding National Resource Waters Project. Regarding the in-stream flow objectives project, this is a project that I'll just describe generally before I talk about the comments. This is a project that was approved in the 2014 training review. It is a focus on the Navarro, and it is a project wherein we are using a traditional approach methodology for establishing flow objectives based on protection of aquatic species habitat. It's a project that we have contract funds available to, and we have a contractor working on the development doing the technical work for us. And the overall length of the project, assuming that we have funding for the whole period, is going to be at least 6 years. So it's a lengthy process. The Navarro, the flow objective, the concept of a flow objective is to associate our interest in protecting beneficial uses, so in this case habitat quality, with in-stream flow. And to get to a point that you made earlier, Mr. Corbett, about the potential for conflicts amongst agencies, I just wanted to be clear that we have a flow and riparian specialist here in this office whose job it is to focus on the development of flow objectives and to interact with other partner agencies in this endeavor. And so he's very much involved with all of the fisheries agencies, as well as the Division of Water Rights and the Department of Water Resources, on the question of flow, the development of flow objectives, and ensuring that that we're not in conflict. So we're very well coordinated on that front.
You missed the briefing yesterday. I indicated my comments were more towards our public outreach and explanation and not a critique of staff on this point. So I want to say I think you do a very good job, but the challenges of coordination are not always understood in the broader public.
Great. Thank you. At the time of the 2014 triennial review adoption, there was commentary in the hearing itself which caused a change to the description of that project, wherein the project then described our interest in considering the adoption of a narrative flow objective that could be applied regionally. You can sort of think of this as a tiered approach to establishing flow objectives. So a narrative objective that could be applied regionally, and then where necessary, an effort to develop numeric criteria on an individual watershed basis. So the language in that 2014 triennial review, approved triennial review, was that we would consider the development of a narrative objective. And we received a number of comments reflecting on the fact that there are multiple other waters that deserve the protection of a flow objective. That the length of time that it takes to develop an individual flow objective for an individual water body is long, that it would take a very, very long time to cover all the waters that otherwise deserve a flow objective. And so a recommendation that we, rather than just simply consider development of a narrative objective, in fact commit to it. And in thinking about all of the ways that we are coordinated with other agencies, that we are engaged in flow assessment work in multiple watersheds around the region under different programs and with different agencies, it seemed to us that that was a fair thing to do. So we've altered the language associated with this project to describe a commitment to the development of a narrative flow objective. There were also comments on our climate change adaptation strategy project, and a great deal of support for the project, and some interesting recommendations for how we ought to proceed on this project. And one of the things that became clear in the comments was that we needed to be a little bit more clear about what we intend to specifically do in this next three-year period. We had originally, in the 2014 triennial review, described this project as a project wherein we develop a climate change adaptation policy to be adopted into the basin plan as an amendment. And in our interactions with the State Board, multiple other agencies, and our own thinking during this last three-year period, we've come to the conclusion that climate change policy in the basin plan is only one of many tools that we could be employing to address the issues that come up as a result of climate change. And so what we've done instead is to describe this as a climate change adaptation strategy, which could include the development of a policy, might also include the development of permit language, guidance, and other technical tools that we could make available to dischargers. So we've altered the language slightly in the description of this project just to make clear that in this next three-year period, we have staff assigned. Our hope is to assign staff to the development of a landscape assessment tool, which allows us to assess, predict under climate change scenarios what locations in the region are particularly vulnerable to various effects of climate change and what locations in the region are particularly resilient to various effects of climate change, and use that objective basis as the basis for determining what kind of policies, what kind of permit language, what kind of guidance, what kind of tools we can provide to help all of us better manage the potential effects of climate change. And then the last project I'll talk about is the Outstanding National Resource Water Project, which in the 2014 training review was described as a project wherein we would focus on designation of the Smith River as an outstanding national resource water. In our effort in that project, we came to the conclusion that we had considerable comment and guidance and direction from stakeholders that we ought to, rather than focus on the Smith River, instead do some background work which described in our basin plan exactly what an outstanding national resource water is, define it, establish the process by which you designate an ONRW, and find an objective method for identifying ONRW eligible waters. So in this in the public review letters that we got on this triennial review, we had one commenter, which was the Board of Supervisors in Del Norte County, not in favor of the project, in particular concerned about the Smith River, but lots of other support for the ONRW project, some of them in favor of the Smith as a focus, and many others with lists of other waters that they thought ought to be considered. So we've made some revisions to the planning program work plan, project description, just to be more clear about the fact that we are basically in this next three-year period proposing that we produce for you proposed revisions to Chapter 3 of the Basin Plan. Chapter 3 is our water quality objectives chapter, and in that chapter include the ONRW term and its definition. Basically to establish the foundation upon which we can then provide some recommendations on designation at a later time, and that we rely on the landscape assessment model or tools that we're developing under the Climate Change Adaptation Strategy Project as the basis for developing a list of eligible projects or eligible watersheds that this board might consider for designation. Just to remind us all, outstanding national resource water is a water under federal law, under a tier of the federal anti-degradation policy, which either has water quality that is above the water quality objective, so it's called high quality water, or it could be water that has either ecological or recreational significance. And in the in our thinking about climate change, we also think about climate resilience as potentially being a characteristic that might be important for ONRW designation. There are a few other changes that we made to the planning program work plan. The version that you have before you today versus the one that went out in draft back in May that I just wanted to highlight. We added the Russian River Sediment TMDL, or more likely TMDL alternative project, as a project listed as a TMDL priority, even though we don't have staff currently to take on this project. And we listed that project in this way because we're eager to find a way to hire a Russian River watershed steward, someone who would steward this effort and also help us as an agency participate more fully in the variety of opportunities that there are right now in the Russian River watershed to do watershed planning. We have been in a sort of ad hoc basis using our various staff resources to participate in a Russian River confluence effort, Russian River Cal Forward pilot project through Department of Water Resources, stormwater management planning. We have our own Russian River regional monitoring program underway. There's master restoration planning going on, and certainly lots of fire response work going on. So there's a number of things happening in the watershed that really deserve our full and complete focus. And if we had a Russian River steward, we'd be able to do that somewhat more effectively. So we've listed this project. There's no staff associated with it. We would love the board's support in our pursuit of a new position for this Russian River Watershed Steward. We also made just a slight revision to the staff resources that were described in the Groundwater Protection Strategy Project, only because there had been some work assignment changes at the beginning of this fiscal year that required that change. And then there's one There's one more project I wanted to talk about that I didn't include on the slide, and that is the, I think it's project number 8, so it's the last on the list. It's a project that was approved for the first time in 2014, and that is the development of exemption criteria for our seasonal discharge prohibition in the Eel River. This was a project that the city of Fortuna had brought to this board's for this board's consideration back in 2014, and we included on the triennial review. We've had a staff assigned to this project over these last 3 years, and the progress on the project has been such that it has not been a full-time job for that planning staff. So our recommendation is to remove that project as a high-priority project. We've committed to the city of Fortuna that as they continue to do the technical work that they are wanting to do in support of an exemption, the development of exemption criteria, that we will make the time to accept those materials, review them, provide comments. But our experience is that it's not a full-time planning project. And so with that, I would like to recommend that this board adopt resolution R1-2018-0030. To establish the planning program work plan for fiscal years 2018 through 2021 and conclude the 2018 triennial review of the basin plan.
Thank you, Alita. It's nice to do a two-put on this where we looked at this back in July and then we get to look at it again now. I think it's equally important to have the staff, the unit work plans in here. And it's interesting how looking at the triennial review and then looking at the work plan from the unit leads for these different divisions of this agency then and how this all works. The importance of the basin plan and the work in the basin plan really can't be overstated. I think the priority as it goes, I'm fairly comfortable with the priority. I think as far as, you know, if you want to take these just singularly flow criteria and flow objectives, I think the narrative flow objective is a great place to start. You know, certainly if we take the experience of the Navarro, which is where we're a lead agency, grant monies, allocating grant monies to have a consultant go out here. That's a very long endeavor to do that on a watershed that we have committed to do so. I know there's other watersheds that are doing flow objectives out with other agencies besides ourselves as a lead, whether it's under the California Water Action Plan or whether it's just a sister agency like the Shasta River is doing a flow objective under CDFW. So I think for us to develop a narrative objective would be super helpful. You know, we dipped our toe into the issue of regulatory authority with flow for this agency 4 years ago. And I think that was a pretty big move for us to do that. I think this takes it to the next step, and it's helpful. It's not the end-all be-all, but it's helpful. Climate strategy, I think also, you know, having these and some of these fall kind of under the same guise, ONRW also, to kind of think about how we would use this climate strategy instead of a policy at this point. You know, State Board has done work on a climate policy, and it's very much of topic. The thing is as I see it, Puerto Colón is silent. It never contemplated climate adaptation at the time that Puerto Colón was written. So we're now trying to adopt how we as agencies use our authority or with others then to adapt to the changing world as it is. I think the same could be said with ONRW. ONRW is a big move as well. And I can see now in the rearview mirror that, you know, the way that got started as an idea and then it greatly concerned some people, especially in Del Norte County with Smith River. I think developing some criteria around and some idea and framework around ONRW, if that is in fact something we're wanting to do on resources within the North Coast region, I think it would be great to have that understood internally and externally about how that goes. Last is the Russian River. The Russian River, I think it's a good idea to do the Russian River sediment TMDL. It's long overdue. The only issue that I have with Russian River is we have some pretty chunky Russian River items right now, whether it be, you know, in the November meeting, we're contemplating the adoption of the Russian River pathogen TMDL. If you want to basically make the Laguna TMDL a part of the Russian, which it absolutely is, you know, we need to staff that back again. There's a lot going on, and I totally agree with you that I think the Russian River has reached critical mass with regulatory for ourselves internally and then externally with other things going on in the Russian River, the regional monitoring, certainly some of the other agencies that are working and individuals and NGOs as well. I think that, you know, it is high time to look at how we staff and rank and have effect on the Russian River. So I'm generally supportive of the triennial review, and I thank you for putting this together. I really don't have any questions other than just a couple statements. So,
okay, thank you.
Great. Mr. Corbett?
First of all, I just want to go the history of this. When I first came on this board, this was an 8.5 by 11 sheet. Here, pass it. The board had no comments. The public had no comments. And I think we've really built it into a tremendous planning document. The second thing is Port O'Clone Act, after the original basin plans, went asleep with very few and light basin reviews. This really incorporates the spirit of the act by having every 3 years we're going to take this seriously. And then it keeps developing to be better every year. So I want to commend you for being in charge of the program, for making those key steps. And regardless of what we adopt, we're well ahead of the game of where we used to be. Mine are primarily, I'm just going to throw out some ideas, not so much to change the text, but to give things that I think we might want to explore on climate change. We need to identify new coho habitat. And I say that because the Karuk tribe did a study of coho salmon, and some of it was dealing with Scott and the Shasta. And people were shocked, but those coho fry were showing up on some of the side streams right near the mouth of the Klamath River. So they're programmed, if the water's too hot, you go towards, even if the water's still too warm, you keep going the opposite direction where it's too hot. The point is, though, those are quite susceptible to inundation. And I think we really need to look in the North Coast. And what they need is quiet waters. That's what they need, quiet backwater streams. Whether that's a widespread problem or a localized problem, and if it's a widespread problem, we need to think through restoration or the scope of it. I think we ought to get, for the region, maps of locally designated retreat areas. In other words, some of the local entities are now saying, we're going to retreat from here. It'd be good to have that in a map and take a look at it. Restoration policies, new issues are coming. So you rebuild some of the marshes. Do you do nothing and whatever grows there, that's the new normal? Do you, excuse me, let me indicate to my cell phone that it's remiss to and it's fighting my turning it off, but there, I apologize. And for example, in Humboldt Bay, there's widespread disdain for mudflats. And people do not want restoration upstream as the water sea level rises to build more mudflats. I don't know whether that's a wise decision, or, but what I'm trying to say is we're starting to get into picking and choosing species. 70% of the eelgrass of California is in Humboldt Bay. That requires a certain depth of the water. Are we going to want restoration projects to look at that? And that's quite a different. There's going to be some mechanical channeling and all kinds of things upslope before the water's there. And so that's a major issue. We need maybe not to have an answer, but a feel for some of the issues we're going to do. 101 is going to be one of the largest climate change areas affected, and I'm starting. You go Crescent City, False Klamath Cove, Klamath River, Humboldt Bay, and above all else, there's going to be something built near the mouth of the Elk River. I want us to know what should be built. Do we clearly don't want something that constricts the flow more, but no one else is going to be advocating probably for a robust Elk River flow. And remember, the fishing industry also has to bear the sediment that goes down. So it's a complex issue. But it seems to me some of these areas that we know are very close to the, are going to be strongly affected by rising seas. There's going to be a movement. And what do we want out of that movement that improves over the status quo? So those are just some of my ideas. The rest, I'm extremely impressed with your effort.
Thank you. Thank you. Very interesting thoughts. I've got notes here.
Mr. Gisti.
I'll go. You want me to go first or you?
I can go first. My comments are pretty brief. I like Chairman Noren, I'm very supportive of this. The thing that struck me in reviewing this updated version was really, you know, some very, I think, spot on public comments and kind of an elegant example of how public comments can result in some, you know, succinct changes that really improved this a great deal. So I'm appreciative of the public that commented and of staff efforts to elegantly incorporate that into this. I like the addition of the Russian River item in the work plan. I think it's great to kind of even without the staff resources to plant a flag that's a priority. So I'm appreciative of that. And I also am supportive of the succinct but I think important changes to the ONRW item. I've expressed some critique of that item as a priority, and so I appreciate the more stepwise approach that's reflected here. So thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Gisti.
Thank you. I too, like Valerie Stay, I always start by reading the public comments first. That way, as I'm reading the staff document, I'm already peaked at to what is catching people's attention. And I really thought the public comments were thorough and thoughtful. Obviously, people spent a lot of time on this. What I wanted to say is I really support the idea of putting the climate and contaminants of emerging concern, water conservation and groundwater policy or strategy discussion, not canceling them, but postponing it to when we can have a robust and thorough discussion on each of those topics. I'm actually looking forward to that because I see those as laying the foundation or the basis not only for us, but for future boards, recognizing that each of these policies, there will be an evolution of thought over time. You know, 5 years from now, we're going to be thinking differently about climate change than we are today. 10 years down the road, even so. So I think what we have before us is an opportunity to lay a very strong foundation to help this region move forward over the next 5, 10, 15 years. So I think it was a good call and one that I'm looking forward to participating in.
And, of course, you know, a reminder that to be mindful of the fact that of these are projects, these are long-term projects in essence, and that as they go, there will be opportunities for public process, board hearings, further comment, work, and amendment to these as they go. So,
that's right. And our intention, I don't know that we always fulfill it, but our intention is over in this next three-year period to bring information items to the board to give you updates on where we are on the projects, either on a project-by-project basis or, in this case, on the progress on the whole planning program work plan. So you'll certainly be hearing from us over the next 3 years multiple times on the progress we're making.
Okay, speaking of public comments, let's take a few. Reminder that if you want to address this board on this issue, please fill out a speaker card. I just have a couple. Looks like a couple more coming. We'll start with Jill Kelson from GHD.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm Jill Shelson. I work with GHD. GHD is the on-call contracted engineering firm for the city of Fortuna. We help the city with their wastewater discharge compliance. As reviewed by the city staff, I'm presenting comments on the 2018 triennial review as follow-up to the city's written comments submitted during the public review period. The main point that the city wants to get across today is that the Regional Water Quality Control Board staff seem to be on board with the city's efforts to pursue the exception process amendment to the basin plan to allow evaluation of summertime effluent disposal to the Eel River, the topic that Alita brought up earlier. The Regional Water Quality Control Board gave no official indication prior to the 2018 triennial review that they would be removing this project from the priority list No written notice was received of the staff's intentions. The city received no warning of potential removal of the Develop Eel River seasonal discharge prohibition exemption from the triennial review list. There was no opportunity for correction or a plan of action that would allow the city to keep moving forward with this project. It also seemed like removing the city's item from the triennial review list was non-negotiable, and that the Regional Water Quality Control Board's decision was made before the city even started the comment process after finding out that the project was removed. The City of Fortuna recognizes that there was some delay in initiating data collection and providing information to the Regional Water Quality Control Board. However, it is difficult for a city the size of Fortuna to undertake a project of this magnitude. And it should be emphasized that in 2017, due to the condition of the city's existing percolation ponds resulting from flooding in the 2016 to 2017 winter season, it was difficult to get a representative study completed. There was some time that it took to have the monitoring plan approved by the Regional Water Quality Control Board staff, and the city responded to all the requests for additional information. One of the main delays was finding a certified lab to test for the requested contaminants of emerging concern, which are outside of the normal water quality parameters the city tests for. Timing of the dye study in 2017 prevented the city from gathering the low flow data needed for summer analysis of effluent, as delays in timing resulted in high flows, preventing any additional testing at that point during the season. The city continues to evaluate the treatment options that may meet the future effluent requirements for surface water discharge. While progress may not be as quick as the Regional Water Quality Control Board would hope, the city is moving as quickly as possible under the current conditions to provide the data. Three subsequent dye studies have been performed, which give scientific data that will assist the Regional Water Quality Control Board in determining the potential benefits of year-round discharge. The city feels that significant progress is currently being made on evaluation of summertime effluent disposal in the Eel River, and this is an important issue to continue to evaluate in the Eel River Basin. Dropping the city's Develop Eel River seasonal discharge prohibition exemption seems abrupt and out of the blue, and the city feels blindsided by the staff's plan to remove the project. The city requests that the Develop Eel River seasonal discharge prohibition exemption remain on the 2018 triennial review list with a minimum staff time assigned of 0.5 full-time equivalents. Thank you for this opportunity to present the city's findings and opinions to you.
Great, Jill. Thank you. Comments or questions? Joe, I'm going to hold those comments, and we'll come back and ask staff about it at the end of this, if that's amenable to you.
Yes. Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Jill. Felice Pace.
Felice Pace for the North Group Redwood Chapter Sierra Club. I got 10 copies of my letter. I'm just going to read this letter. My name is Felice Pace. I represent the North Group of the Sierra Club, where I serve as the water chair. For years now, numerous organizations across the region and beyond, which have been working to protect and restore North Coast streams, have been asking the board and senior staff to prioritize flow criteria. More recently, we've also asked for the narrative flow to be developed and adopted. While lip service has been paid and while we appreciate flow criteria being developed for the Navarro, we are frustrated with the painfully slow progress on this critical issue. Stream flows are critical not only to fisheries and recreation, but they are a major way to address pollution, as per the classic statement. You know it, the answer to pollution is dilution. Recently, the need became more urgent. Numerous basins across the region now required to adopt groundwater management plans under SGMA by 2024. And they're supposed to avoid undesirable results, including undesirable results on stream flow and groundwater-dependent ecosystems, which include those springs that come in the river within the high water mark. To comply with SGMA, groundwater managers need stream flow criteria. And if they are not available, these entities or if the state board has to step in, we'll need to be more conservative when it comes to groundwater extraction. So really, in terms of groundwater use, if we get flow criteria, you know, that's going to enable more groundwater use. For the reason developing stream flow criteria for those sigma basins should be the highest priority. But once again, it's assigned a priority that assures no progress. The North Group does appreciate the change of language in the narrative flow objectives from consider to developing to actually develop it. However, the third tier ranking assigned to the item assures that the task will not get done in a timely manner. So we really urge you to raise this to a number one. I don't know, D, E, wherever we need to be. There's number one, A, B, C, D, E, so forth. The date for completion should be 2019. After all, this is not a really complex task. For example, in New York State, the objective states, there shall be no alteration to flow that will impair the waters for their best usages. This isn't rocket science. We can do this in 2019. In addition, we ask that numerous additional watersheds receive the same analytical assessment, these sigma watersheds. You know, we don't have to reinvent the wheel, so we do have the California Water Action Plan. CDFG has already published for the Scott. They're in the process in the Shasta. They're doing the South Fork Eel, Mark West Creek. I think you have a flow coordinating committee that meets with the Fish and Wildlife, but, you know, why do we have to keep them so separate? Can't we utilize DFW's flow criteria? Won't those protect all those beneficial uses? I think we can, you know, the tenor of what I'm saying is this can be streamlined and we can move faster. And finally, I want to call your attention to comment from Bill Chesney, a DFW biologist who has long worked on the Shasta. His comment, including data on levels of E. coli bacteria in the Shasta and its tributaries, far exceed EPA and the newly adopted California standard for recreational contact. Please include addressing Shasta E. coli pollution in the resolution. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Felice. Any questions, comments? Great. Thank you. Vivian Helliwell. And Vivian will be followed by Brenda Edelman.
Hello, Chairman Noren and board members. Vivian Helliwell with Pacific Coast Federation of Fishermen's Associations and the Institute for Fisheries Resources. We're generally pleased to see your responses to our comments. And in some cases, staff added, not only did you agree with our concerns, but staff added other items of concern we had overlooked. Staff agree that the protection, restoration, and maintenance of salmonid species is a high priority for the benefit of ecosystem health, the food chain, unique North Coast habitats, tribes, fishermen, and all Californians. However, we agree with the comments of the previous speaker that streamlining and prioritizing the narrative stream flow objectives is very urgent for the survival and recovery of these salmon species. The North Coast region is home to most of the salmon-bearing streams in the state. And we also have a 50-year celebration coming up of the Wild and Scenic Rivers designation, most of which are located in the North Coast region as well. We like the update of the beneficial uses to include cultural uses because community health is tied to eating salmon. Eating salmon is a human health issue. And yesterday in the store in Arcata, flying salmon that was flown into our area was from $13 to $23 a pound. That's out of the reach of most people. We appreciate your recognition of the connection of groundwater, according to the USGS study, but there's not enough information yet on how this affects stream flows. The extraction of wells, which are ministerially approved. And so to further progress on this approach, being part of the California Water Quality Monitoring Council Environmental Flow Work Group is a good thing to be doing. And we hope that you will move the priorities up to designate these stream flow objectives. Member Corbett mentioned the backwaters for Coho. In Freshwater Creek, we have some examples of backwaters that have been created for Coho. And apparently they've been quite successful. That's worth looking into. If we don't get the mud pumped out of Humboldt Bay pretty soon, though, it's going to take sea level rise to float our fishing boats in the marina, because we're already sitting on the ground and having to move all the way down to the other end. We're going to run out of places to move to. And we know where the sediment is coming from, upstream. So the staff takes a keen interest in a North Coast office, but there's no time staff available to staff it. So we recommend developing a liaison or deputizing people who represent state government in county government, such as the planning department, to receive and investigate issues of water quality on the North Coast where it's hard for you to get to in a timely manner. Wild and scenic. I'm interested in this idea of watershed stewards for the Russian River, wondering if the Eel River is considered a tributary to the Russian River now. We're deeply involved in the negotiations on the Potter Valley Project. And we have a strong interest in not only recovering Eel River coastal fall run that we've been prevented from catching for over 20 years in the ocean, not only to a viable population, but to a harvestable surplus so that these coastal economies can once again thrive and eat healthy salmon. So thank you very much for considering our comments. Do you have any questions for me today?
Any questions for Vivian?
I had from our executive director. I believe there's some progress on a Eureka regional office, although it's currently restricted to cannabis. But presumably, if that's established, especially if the state board goes with it, it might be expanded. So the executive director, can you comment on that?
Well, the things you just said were correct. We are opening a small field office. Will house five staff of our Northern Cannabis Regulatory Unit. So it will be limited and specific to the cannabis regulatory program. We're working with the Department of General Services and the State Board to expand the ability to have more staff in a Eureka office. So that's our goal, is to expand it beyond the cannabis program. We're going to continue on that, but at this time it's going to be limited for the next foreseeable future to the cannabis program. We had initially intended or had the hopes that we'd be able to move in this month in September, and the construction is ongoing, and so now the new target date or month is in November, the time when five staff will be moving up there.
Any other comments, questions? Thank you, Vivian.
Roads and timber harvest on less than 100 acres or less is a bad way to deal with fire. And water quality has to be maintained. Thank you.
Thank you, Vivian. Brenda Edelman. And then I have one last speaker card beyond that for Chris Malin.
Good morning. Brenda Edelman, Russian River Watershed Protection Committee. I didn't take the oath because I didn't realize I was going to comment. So,
you want to take the oath now? You can swear to tell the truth, Brenda?
Yes, I do.
You're good to go.
Thank you. Okay.
Glad you reassured us, Brenda.
I try to always tell the truth.
Not a girl.
My concern was this adopting resolution where you're dropping the four topics in order to work on them to change the wording and make them more relevant. I totally support your working on them. I think they're extremely important items that need immediate protection. And I don't understand how dropping them is going to allow more time to spend on them when my interpretation of the goal of this project is to allocate resources, including staff time, in order to address these issues. So basically, I don't want to see these put off, and I'm just concerned that by dropping them, you're losing them to a time unknown. And it's basically a question I'm asking, and I don't know enough about how this works to know what you're thinking about exactly.
Can
in
I
terms
that?
Of addressing the issue and
oh,
having the time to do it.
Yeah, can I address that? So the triennial review as it is written right now is an entire document, right? And that it is a planning document for the unit then to go forward for the next 3 years. Within the draft document that we saw in July, it included some policy statements which were more philosophical in nature than they were binding regulatory. And staff in doing so, in leading up to that, had wrote a draft statements. And they were statements from the board themselves, is the intention, I believe, of them. And Kelly Gant, actually, board member Kelly Gant, asked that we should include or have the opportunity to include our own words, that they'd not be just statements that were written by staff, even though the intention was good and that they were fine statements in and of themselves. They were not direct statements from the board themselves, and they were meant to be a companion onto the triennial review. And so in the July meeting, and I think you were here, Brenda, we had a general discussion about the philosophy of the board as it related to several issues, whether it be climate change or flow issues. And it was a really good discussion, I thought. It was very free form. It was just us talking. It didn't include public comment. It was really us just trying to get ideas out and alignment. And, of course, Alita asked for four ideas, and she got 29 opinions about those ideas. And
now that we clarified it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
right.
I think we made it probably bigger than it was in doing so, because as you know that there these types of things engender interest and engender ideas, and we're all different people up here that come at this from different angles. And actually, board member Giusti was not here in that meeting, so in fairness to us all, and I believe the intent is to bring this back not to delay the triennial review at all. If in fact we move forward today with this, Brenda, we would fully adopt the triennial review that sets priorities for the planning unit for the next 3 years. I believe the intent is, and we could clarify this, is to then continue to and expediently finish some policy statements that are from this board. And I believe that board member Giusti had it right this morning, that they set then, I think, a tone and treble to how then the philosophy of this board carries forth from here, that we put our own statements in there about we put our own statements out about how we as a board view and want to see this agency go forward in the future through policy statements, and that includes a fair amount of philosophy and personal statements and experience that come with that. But it will not, and it's not meant to be a delay to the triennial review process. The staff priorities are well laid out in the triennial review here, and it will simply be brought in its own process. If we would have, I believe, tried to finish those now, it probably would have delayed this as a result. So I believe the decision was made then to come forth and potentially adopt, again, if we go through this today, to adopt the triennial review as it is, or amend it perhaps, and include then to come back and have a group of policy statements that will be of themselves.
Is there any way or value to putting a brief statement to that effect in the triennial review as a footnote maybe, or?
Yes, I think we could set, I think we could make a request to staff. How about we do it this way, Brenda? My suggestion is, and I'm open to recommendations on this, is we make a request from the board that in some certain time forward that we finish this, these statements and include them within a, it would, I believe, be a resolution, I believe, of some kind. And we could try to get a date certain on that. I think that would probably be a fair way to do this.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you. Chris Malin? Looks like we have a couple more after that. One more. Thank you.
Yes, hi. My name's Chris Malin. I'm the executive director of the Institute for Conservation Advocacy, Research, and Education. We also sponsor the North Coast Streamflow Coalition, and we were very active in the 2014 triennial report, and we came here and talked about a flow narrative, flow objectives, and you had a workshop. You did a lot of work, and now it's coming back in the 2018 that the staff recommend, yeah, we should do the narrative. And you have several projects here. You have 2.25 develop in stream flow criteria, and then you have lower priorities for the 3.24 develop numeric flow objective, which is a low priority. So you've got some stuff going on in here. The state has some stuff going on. They started in 2014, and I'm sure Steve Moore will correct me if I get the dates wrong, but the legislature directed the State Water Resources Control Board to start flow objectives in the Delta. And that was supposed to be finished, I think, by 2017. And then the rest of the tributaries in the state by 2018. Something like that. Anyway, who knows where that's at? So the legislature is concerned about flows. So is the governor, and he had the water action plan where he designated five tributaries or five rivers to focus on flows, which you have in here: the Eel, the Shasta, the Mark West, and one other one I can't remember, the Scott. So there's stuff going on. It's not moving fast enough. Climate change is smacking us around. It's scary out there. We're seeing our streams and our rivers dry up. The fish can't swim up to spawn and rear and live their lives. We have great minds working on this. Bill Trush, Peter Moyle, these guys, they've been around forever, working with different entities on developing methodology. Nobody seems to get it together. We've waited a long time. The fish can't wait. It's not rocket science. It shouldn't be rocket science at this point. It should be collaborative efforts between agencies and the scientists out there to once and for all figure out a numeric flow for fish. And, you know, they have those little fins on their back. You know, they need to swim. What's the big deal here? Get some water above the fish. What is the numeric number for that? If we're going to make it, the fish got to make it. And that's sort of the bottom line. And we'd like to see the lead agencies partner with the Department of Fish and Wildlife. They're already doing it. They go out under Public Resource Code 10,000 to 10,005, and they establish flows in rivers that have been designated by the Department of Fish and Wildlife to do so. So they've been doing it for a long time. and they have the expertise there. And I know you have working groups working on it here. And I know the San Francisco Regional Water Quality Control Board is also starting to look at flows. And Steve Moore was at the San Francisco Regional Water Quality Control Board in 2014. Their triennial is next week. He was there in 2014, and he came before the San Francisco Board. Maybe he came here too. And he suggested that the state board and the regional boards cooperate on flow projects and start, getting some of these projects done. It just is painfully slow. So I have a question. The San Francisco Regional Water Quality Control Board actually has a metric for developing the high, medium, and low ranking that you have for projects. And I looked through this. I didn't see that in yours. So I'm wondering who decides what projects are high, medium, and low. It was very helpful to see that in their triennial, and I'll be there at their meeting next week. But that's a question I have for you. How did you determine that flow develop numeric flow objectives is a low priority project when it's screaming for more attention? Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. How about we do this? We'll take on that question when staff comes back.
Okay.
We'll address it.
Thank you.
Bob Leagy, still has speaker card.
Chairman Noren, board members, I'm Bob Leagy with the Russian Riverkeeper. I'm not going to belabor the flow issue because you've heard some really good comments prior to me. One thing I did want to mention as far as the Russian River itself is that the Potter Valley diversions have gone from 160,000 acre feet to 35, and rightfully they should go to zero. But what that's going to cause, and it has already, is blue-green algae. Nutrients going off the charts, streams running dry, and an over allocation of water rights. This basically makes for some hard work that needs to be done within the next 3 years. And to kick this down the road 2 to 3 more triennial review cycles is just not in our best interest, certainly not in the Russian. So I just want to say that we really need to get on top of this in-stream flow criteria and get it done. Thanks.
Thanks, Bob. I have no other speaker cards. Alita, may you come back up, please? So, Alita, a couple questions that I'd like to go back and have addressed. Joe Kelson read a statement from the City of Fortuna about the augmentation project to have summertime discharge to Eel River. And frankly, some of that was that we blindsided them. We did some things here. My understanding is that the project has zero allocation to it. But may you explain that, please, about just the view of that project and where it's at? I heard you say that it's pending hold, that if a project does come in, we would move forward on it and address it. But currently, I don't see any hours addressed to it.
Right. So let me say two things about it, and then I'm going to ask Lisa Bernard, who is the staff assigned to that project, to come up and describe some of her interactions with the city preparation for this triennial review.
Okay.
Just to remind us all, the project, when it was adopted as a priority in 2014, was adopted on the basis that there was a potential that the summertime discharge to the Eel River could provide a flow augmentation benefit, and that if it could be demonstrated that there was a flow augmentation benefit, then the risks associated with allowing an exemption from a long-standing discharge prohibition might be worth considering. We, in this last 3 year period, have concluded that there's the volume of discharge from the City of Fortuna is not enough to register as any kind of flow augmentation benefit to the Eel. So that particular environmental benefit does not appear to be something that is likely to come of the project. And so it throws into question, of course, what are the risks associated then with allowing summertime discharge when we have, since the initiation of our basin plan, prohibited it? Nonetheless, we've toyed with the idea that there might be other environmental benefits that could come from the allowance of such an exception. And we've been talking with the city and working with the city on that basis. So the idea in this training review, the planning program work plan that you have in front of you today, was to remove this project as a staffing priority because we have not been able to keep Lisa busy on this project in these last 3 years. And instead, because we recognize that the city is still conducting work and producing technical documents, to nonetheless commit to reviewing and providing comment and working with them as those documents come in, but recognizing that it's not a full-time job, and frankly, I don't think it's a half-time job either, that there was not a point to actually assign staff to this given project, just simply make ourselves available when things come in. Then if I can, I'd like to have Lisa come up and she can share a little bit with us the interactions that she's had with the city in preparation for the training
room. Fair enough.
Good morning, board members and Chairman Noren.
I think you got to turn your microphone on.
I have to turn it on?
Mm-hmm.
My name's Lisa Bernard, and I'm a staff to you in your planning unit, and so thank you for letting me speak to you today. I kind of want to start a little bit further back and just say when you first adopted this project, we started doing some public outreach, and we started working with the city of Fortuna to develop a plan for how this project would move forward with a lot of their own work and support to move the science forward, because we had a lot of questions about the interactions of their perk ponds with the Eel River, contaminants of emerging concern, and potential impacts to beneficial uses in the Eel River associated with an ongoing discharge that was contrary to the summertime prohibition. So we found this to be an opportunity to take a look at it as a pilot project. And we worked together with them, went up, had meetings with them, laid out a full document suggesting an outline of what monitoring might need to be done, and asked them what their schedule was for being able to put together a completed work plan as well as implementing that work plan. And we designed our schedule around their funding. So they said that they had some grant funding, that they had a specific schedule to meet their deadlines. And so we designed our entire project around their schedule. Fast forward, some of the early monitoring that was done, the initial monitoring occurred in 2000. So that you adopted the Triennial Review Project in 2015, March of 2015. The initial dye study that was done by the City of Fortuna occurred in November of 2017, post summertime discharge prohibition season, but so it was just before the early rains, and I was present for that, and I had asked several times for the City of Fortuna to give us the results of that just so we could begin monitoring in the river to see what their results would be. Several times I asked in writing for them to submit that report, and that the summary of that work came in conjunction with the comments on this triennial review. I've had numerous conversations with the City of Fortuna in between, numerous email requests for them to move forward with the project, and to no avail. So, you know, probably, I don't recall the exact timing, but at least a month before the triennial review came out for public comment, I let them know that because we had not moved forward, they had not moved forward with any summary results or monitoring that had been agreed upon for this project, that we would be recommending that this be a lower priority and possibly removed from the triennial review. We've also, and I sent that to them. I spoke to them on the phone on two different occasions and sent that confirmation to them by email and writing. So I'm a little surprised that they feel blindsided by the decision that's been recommended.
Well, at the same time, I notice in their comments here that they request to have 5% allocation of staff. I mean, what I hear is that it's not a dead project. It's really just awaiting more data to see if it's a viable project, which seems reasonable.
Yeah, and that's right. We have rounded up and don't reflect it as a staff resource here, but we have committed to providing review and comment.
Well, by the way, given the fact that, I mean, we have limited resources, there's limited staff resources, I mean, to allocate a half a PY or anything like that to a project that's just awaiting to go, I think is not wise. So I think the way that you're approaching this seems reasonable and rational, given the need for other programs to move forward. Seems fair. Okay. Any other questions or comments on that issue? The other one, thank you, by the way, Lisa. I appreciate it, your comments. Chris Malin asked a question, Alita, about the prioritization of these projects and how do they get prioritized. Who does that?
So in the 2014 triennial review, it was structured differently than the planning program work plan that you see before you today. It did not include timelines for the projects. It did not include staff resources assigned to each of the projects or estimated for the projects. It simply was a list of projects in order of priority. We identified everything that we could staff as the high priority projects and everything below that line that for which we had staffing as medium and low priority. And that was a list of priority ordering that essentially this board established by adopting the 2014 triennial review. So the approach that we took this year, because we wanted to do a more thorough job of describing the projects, describing the schedule that we anticipated to be following, and the staff resources that we had available, we took all of the high priority projects, so those were projects that we were already working on, and projects then that we are, through our training review process itself, identified as high priority. This is a staff identification. And we included them in this planning program work plan. This is recommended to you, and your in adopting this planning program work plan then would be establishing these projects as the high priority projects. The rest of the projects are described in the staff report. They are described in the order that they were in the 2014 training review, with the exception of those that staff has recommended be moved up. So, for example, and I think this will get to some questions about the flow objective, there is a project that was described as a low priority in 2014, which said establish flow objectives for all impaired waters. And it was a catch-all project, recognizing, of course, that we have dozens of impaired waters and it would be an enormous undertaking. We were focusing instead on the Navarro. And in this training review approach, what we've done essentially is to bring that attempt up to the Navarro project itself. And the Navarro project is described as developing numeric criteria for the Navarro, now a commitment to narrative objective to be applied region-wide, and assessment of other waters that we should or could be developing numeric flow criteria for. And that assessment then will be, you know, generate a list for our next triennial review of where we ought to put our time and resources. I would, just to augment that comment, I would say that our flow and riparian specialist is involved in a number of flow assessment activities all around the region, and it includes the Scott and the Shasta and Mark West Creek. We work closely with the Division of Water Rights and with the Fisheries Agency and California Sea Grant. And one of the things that we're hoping, and we have grants, we're managing grants to evaluate flow and how to develop thresholds for flow. And so there are a number of different scientific approaches underway right now, which our flow and riparian specialist is involved in, and in some cases central to. And it's all of that work that is helping to inform how it is that we propose we develop numeric flow criteria from here on out. Because our first attempt on the Navarro is to use the standard, long-tested methodology, which we, I think we all can agree, is taking a very long time. And so we're looking for some, we're looking to develop new methodologies that would be able to quicken the pace of this and be able to still do an adequate job. And the topic is obviously important and of interest, and I think in short order we ought to arrange for an information item before this board where we can have our flow and riparian specialist describe all of that work, because it's very fascinating.
I think that would probably be really smart. I know just from my own knowledge set, you know, besides the Navarro, I know that, you know, again, the California Water Action Plan is taking on certain watersheds. Other agencies are taking the lead on flow objectives. I know that, you know, we're working on the Trinity and the South Fork Eel right now and the Main Stem Eel right now to do flow and temperature monitoring. I mean, there's a lot going on. We do have limited resources. I know that as well. I think your idea then of having a information item and put a call in on that is smart. I think we ought to get that on the calendar for the coming year and just get that out in the open. I think at the same time, you know, there is a realization that there's an underlying fact that developing a flow criteria, a numeric flow criteria, likely could lead to then the expectation, I believe, is to lead to actions, whether it be an amendment of water rights, an amendment of conjunctive water use through groundwater wells, groundwater recharge, SGMA. It has a lot of pieces and parts to it. It's a legally complex and a long process to go through that. It's not something that is easily done because it is so complex in the legal nature and the regulatory nature. I mean, if we take the Navarro flow study as an example, the Navarro program, as my understanding, is somewhere 5 to 8 years. Right now, I know that there's a consultant hired where we have a grant of somewhere around $300,000, I believe, to go do that. That's underway right now. At the same time, in running parallel to that, like I said, I know there's stuff, there's flow monitoring in the Trinity this year that happened last year. I believe there's a report coming on that pretty quick out of staff. And I know that staff has been working again on the Eel River and some of the other watersheds here. It's no small thing. And just the basic fact runs up against us is that we don't have unlimited staff resources here. We're really trying to get at this, and we're trying to, I think, spread ourselves as far as wide. I think it's a very good idea to have a discussion about this that's more concentrated and in-depth about what this is, and I think that's a great suggestion. Okay. Mr. Corbett, I see you.
Oh, I wanted to throw out some language regarding the stream flows and get your response. One of them is that stream flows of other governmental entities will be reviewed for the purposes of interim adoption as warranted, so that we do open the door that if another agency has done it, that we don't have to reinvent the wheel. My second thing was, and part of this I don't like because if we take out the Navarro, we have nothing, but maybe making the development in-stream flow criteria and objectives generic with the thought that that's to strengthen it, not to weaken it, and have something like develop in-stream flow criteria objectives for flow adoption as warranted.
Well, one thing right now, John, realize that it's as it's written, develop in-stream flow criteria objectives for the Navarro River and evaluate other rivers as candidates for future flow criteria development as warranted. That's as it's written.
Right,
now.
Right. I understand exactly how it's worded, and that was the dilemma I had. If we take out Navarro River, you could argue we don't have anything pegged on the wall. On the other hand, I think the overall response we're getting is that all, the Navarro River? And developing language that would open the door that we're going to generically review this, then staff can certainly pick the Navarro River, and I'm sure the board would appreciate that. And if it was missing, we probably might ask a question even. But something to strengthen it in regard to interim adoption and other agency stream flows as appropriate. And then, so what's your comments on these?
I I would worry about removing the Navarros as a specific highlighted watershed in this project because we're dependent on discretionary contract dollars to fund the work.
Okay.
And having the Navarros specifically named is going to help us in competing for those contract dollars. This phase of work that we currently have funded is only to develop the study plan. And following that, we'll have to turn back to the state board for more discretionary contract funding to fund the second phase, which is actually implementing that study plan.
Well, I certainly don't want to interfere with grant funds, and that's another whole ballgame. Is there any other language you can think of to toughen the current provision? Because if you do read it, it is a little bit tepid the way it reads now. And if I was the public, I would go, where's the beef?
So I am going to struggle probably to come up with specific words that will help be clear about the reality, but let me just say it out loud. It's not how the written word ought to sound, but in reality, Brian McFadden, who's our flow and riparian specialist, is involved in with the fisheries agency on evaluating the relationship between dissolved oxygen and flow as a way of establishing a flow threshold that is relevant to water quality protection. So he's actively engaged in that effort. He's, as you said, he's been monitoring the Trinity and looking at the influence of cannabis grows on flows. He's been managing a grant in Sproul Creek, which is looking at a whole new way of potentially establishing a flow threshold, which doesn't focus only on water availability in the winter, but also in the summer. And all this sort of, he's involved in the Monitoring Council and their Environmental Flows Work Group, is doing so much work that is essentially trying to collect up all the relevant information necessary to be able to establish flow thresholds more with greater alacrity than we currently can with the existing habitat-based flow methodology, flow objective methodology.
Is there a problem in the fish and game methodology then of not considering those factors?
It is. If what you're talking about is the same as what I think you are, it is the methodology that takes many, many years to establish a flow criteria. And that being the basis, where we are looking for and try and actively engaged in developing new science that would allow us to come up with criteria more quickly than that, and criteria that are specifically relevant to water quality protection.
I suggest something? Instead of us trying to wordsmith this today and trying to dive into flow on right now, my recommendation is we leave this as is. We actually come back and have a workshop on flow at the earliest convenience. Get Brian McFadden in here, get some others in here, and let's hash this out, right? Yeah. I think we could do that today and set forth then a process that we're going to carry forward. If we start monkeying with this now, we're just going to freeform it, and I think that that's a mistake.
Well, I think...
I appreciate your
suggestion. I think it's very positive. It's in the context that we're going to find a way to give emphasis to our reviews for stream.
Yeah.
Mr. Jewish.
Yeah, I made a mid-year resolution that I'm never going to support free-winging it and wordsmithing again on this board. So I don't like the idea of flying solo and trying to wordsmith at the last minute. This is what we've reviewed. This is what the public has seen. It is our obligation to go hands, you know, thumbs up or thumbs down on what we have before us. But I do want to say that, you know, I've been on this board 5 years. It was probably 3 years ago this board established the fact that flow is part of water quality. And we took the lead on that. I think there's nobody on this board that doesn't recognize the value of flow. We've heard everything that was said today. There's nothing that I heard that I don't agree with. Streamlining, better collaboration, better cooperation. I think the message is loud and clear what our walking orders are. And I think this just sets a template for moving forward. Certainly, you've outlined all of the other rivers that are being looked at. Every surface water needs to be looked at, and it's a matter of prioritization. So I think the message is loud and clear, and I think we move forward with what's before us, and And I like the idea of having a workshop. I like any chance we can expand on some of these topics. I would never oppose that.
Okay. Are you? Go ahead, John.
Oh, I just wanted to say, I, as a board member, reserve the right to amend staff proposals that come to us based upon a public hearing. Some of the greatest and longest-lasting decisions were made by this board to staff reports. Whenever possible, it should be avoided because of the complications. And I'm very happy with the solution the chairman came up with. But I want to make it very clear, I reserve the right to, and the board should reserve the right to make amendments, and has done so with a very good record overall.
Well, I would just, go ahead.
I was just going to make the statement that you'll see in this afternoon's work plan presentation that indeed we are planning to bring an information item on this exact topic, in which Brian will report on the status of all of the flow studies that we're directly involved with or supporting. So it's already part of our work plan.
Right, that's right. Boy, and might I suggest then that we carry forth with that. We can get a date certain going forward. At the same time, Brenda Edelman, the very last thing here is Brenda Edelman asked about the policy statements. You asked for the opinions of 5 board members in July. Like I said, I think you got 24 opinions. I would imagine that's all scrambled eggs that you got to sort out. But at some point in the near future, I would like to have that come back. And I believe that's the intent here,
mm-hmm.
right? And we would adopt it as a resolution.
In terms of my own personal work priorities, following this hearing today, my full attention will go to getting the Russian River Pathogen TMDL hearing package available and ready for November. And then following the November hearing on the Russian River, assuming that's adopted, then I would want to turn to the policy statements as the next high priority project.
Okay.
I'm feeling compelled to point out, and you'll see a pie chart of our staffing resources, and Alita's division has the fewest staff of our division, and yet has many of the highest priority projects for the region. And so I just am pointing out that all of what we've talked about this morning is incredibly important work, and the reality is that we only have the staff resources that we have. And the point of this triennial review and then the work planning discussion this afternoon is to, you know, look at those priorities and balance our staff resources, contract, grant, dollar availability with, you know, what can we actually achieve and get done.
I appreciate that. Okay. Any other comments or questions here? By the way, Alita, thank you. Thank you for your comments today, by the way, people. Appreciate all the written and narrative comments. We are then to the point where we can make a move here and adopt this. So looking for a motion.
I'll move that we adopt proposed resolution R1-2018-0030 approving 2018 triennial review of water quality control plan for the North Coast region and planning program work plan for fiscal years 2018 through 2021.
Well said. Betty, can you call the roll, please?
Board Member Quinto. Aye. Board Member Corbin.
Aye.
Chairman Warren.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, what we're going to do, we're going to take on item, Matt, how long is item 8? Do you have a feel for that?
We anticipate it to be just about an hour. The presentation, staff presentation, and our invited speakers should last about 40 minutes, and we anticipate about 20 minutes of Q&A.
I'm perfectly willing to stretch into lunch a little bit, as long as that's amenable to folks. Before we do so, let's take a 5-minute break and get fresh, and we'll come back here and do it. Update.